Welcome to The Barbell Strikes Back. I'm your host, James McDermott, and joining me again on the show is our good friend, Frank Ford. Frank, how you doing?
Good, James. What's going on, man?
Not too much. Not too much. Just living the life, living the podcast life. And you have some big, exciting news that's gone down recently. So I'll let you break this to the podcast world. All three listeners, Joanna and a couple others, will know the new big news. What is it?
I'm living the gym owner life now. So it's exciting. I got a little bit of a piece of the CrossFit Sona Inspire Fitness gym. So it's exciting.
So you're a box owner now. You've bought into CrossFit Sona.
Right.
How's it feel to be a box owner? Like walking into the gym, are you looking at things differently? Like you see the t-shirts racks are disorganized. Are you like getting in there? You're organizing them all. Like, are you looking at things differently now being a box owner?
Yes and no. I mean, part of the reason I think that Tracy and Trish, the original owners that started the gym, I think part of the reason they brought it to me as an option was because I already kind of do a lot of those things, you know, take a lot of pride in the gym and treat it like I was an owner already. Acted like I do have a vested stake in everybody that's there. And so, you know, when they brought it to me, it was a surprise and I was excited to say yes. And even with everything going on, I knew that it was something I wanted to be a part of. And then now walking into the gym, it's exciting, you know, to feel like, hey, this is, you know, it's mine. I'm helping this. Yeah. 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 So there's some extra pride there that I'm taking.
As a new box owner, how do you plan to and how would you like to contribute to the CrossFit community now? Like, I've met so many box owners who probably shouldn't own a box or a gym or work with people. And I've met others who are just amazing and phenomenal. So I'm assuming you're going to be the latter. You're going to be all in, invested in your community, trying to grow that. You're all about CrossFit. You're all about training, doing things the right way. But do you have any plans to kind of grow CrossFit in the area and contribute to the greater community? What are your plans if you've thought about it?
Well, I think first things first are getting the fitness community back to where it was, right? Before we can advance anything and grow, we have to kind of get back to where we were. And what I mean by that is like pre-COVID, pre-shutdown, right? So we've got to get through. We've got a lot of things kind of holding the fitness community back. And hopefully we have some news here soon that kind of opens the door a little bit to getting things back to the way they were. But once that's done, I've got a couple ideas, a couple things that I can't talk about yet. But just in the day to day, I think I need to continue to grow myself as a coach. So taking more of what's available with my USAW level one, my, you know, CrossFit level two, just keep learning and getting to be a better coach. Cause I don't think that should stop when you become an owner, you know, and I feel like that's something that might happen a lot out there. Somebody owns a gym and they think that they don't have to, you know, that's where their learning ends and, you know, you can get behind the eight ball that way. So I don't want to fall victim to that.
Yeah. I mean, that's what your members are being exposed to. You know, you have to be able to jump in at a moment's notice. Someone can't show up for class to coach. So you got to hop in there and you have to have the capabilities to lead that class. You have to also at least know what the workout was that day. You know, like maybe you're just kind of like an owner on autopilot, not saying that you would do this, but I'm sure there's some that do. Coach can't come and you have to hop in and you're like, all right, what's the workout? And you're reading it for the very first time, 5 minutes before class. Like, you don't want to be like that. You want to have good habits and grow as a leader and a teacher in your own community.
Yeah. And I think that's where it starts. So for right now, I'm focused on just being a good coach, staying involved, continuing to coach, a good number of classes per week. All of the owners at our gym are involved in the programming and things. So we know what's going on, you know, if something like that did come up, you know, we've all got a good handle on what would need to be done, but you know, we all coach, you know, multiple days during the week. You know, there's not a day that, you know, two out of the three of us aren't there, let alone, you know, if we're all three of us don't make an appearance in some way. So definitely just not being an absentee owner is huge.
Yeah. Now, what kind of things are you doing right now to grow as a coach? I mean, there's been all this time throughout COVID, you know, plenty of time to read books, articles, mm-hmm. take some online certs. Like, well, what are you doing each day to kind of grow?
Well, right now, I think my biggest thing is, you know, just I'm always online digging, you know, I'm just like constantly like talking to my other coaches and sharing information, and you know they do the same with me, so we're constantly just passing things around. You know, funny you bring it up, I was actually watching a pretty interesting video just on like the anatomy of like the way your hips are and how that translates to how people will have different positions that are actually good for their squatting, whether their toes are more forward, more out, things like that. So it was eye-opening for me, because you know you kind of go to your level one and they're like, you know, toes out, knees out, that's how we squat. And then, you know, but if you look more into like how different people's anatomies work and the way that their femurs are, and just, you know, without getting into all of it, but basically it's a little bit different for everybody. Some people it's actually safe and very natural for them to have their toes more forward and have their knees kind of push a little bit more forward than what I thought was the norm. So it's, you know, just little things like that, just trying to pick up what I can. I have failed to do any of the online certs. It's just because I've been working throughout most of this COVID thing, so I haven't really found the time.
Working and training hard.
Yeah.
That's an interesting topic. You know, the way I remember it being described to me was, you know, toes straight ahead is anatomically correct, and toes out a little bit might be more biomechanically correct for certain people, and then toes straight ahead might be more biomechanically correct for someone else, you know, because everybody's body is different, so you have to just find what works best for them and gives them the best form, the best levers, the best strength, best force production. Those are all important things, and it's just going to keep them safe and happy and coming back in to work out.
Right. Yeah. So just, yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, always soak up whatever I can and put it into practice. And, you know, I'm sitting there laying on the floor doing these stupid little tests with myself, trying to, you know, what they're showing you in this video of like how to see, how to test for, you know, what would be the best way for somebody to do it. And I'm sitting there having my wife push on my leg and twist me around, and so I can kind of see which group I fall into, just silly stuff like that.
No, I mean, that's great stuff. I mean, you gotta practice it first before you can go and preach it.
Right.
And I've been watching a lot of Kelly Strett videos lately. He's got his new videos are fire. He's just bringing it every single time. And I follow him on YouTube. So whenever I'm just browsing YouTube, he has like a 4 or 5 minute video that pops up. And he's just been putting out great stuff, you know, about the assault bike, different things with barbells, kettlebells. So he's just a wealth of knowledge. That's like a good starting place. If you're like, what can I do today to learn something? Go to Kelly Strett's, you know, what is it, the Ready State YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And look at all those videos.
He's phenomenal. And, you know, it's good when you have a handful of good resources that you know that their stuff works. There's so much junk out there that is just not – either not applicable, or some of it's just total garbage in any sense. So you got to be careful about what you're taking in and what you're, you know, picking up and then preaching to your members. But, you know, I think I found a few good people that I can lean on.
That's where it's important to try it yourself too. Cause then you'll realize, well, hey, this is BS. I don't like, that's what they said in this video, but it's not working right now. Or maybe I'm not doing it right. And then you dive in deeper, and it's always good too to look up the background of the person whose video you're watching. There's one video series out there or some YouTube channel where I would watch it often because it looked like the guy knew he was talking about. And then I read like on Reddit somewhere that he uses fake weights for all of his demos and stuff like that. And I don't know, that just like, I just lost all respect. I was like, oh man, like I'll go somewhere else now because he's using fake weights.
Yeah, just use lighter weights. There's no point using
fake weights. Yeah, just use lighter weights. I mean, like, I don't care that you're not demoing with 315, but if you're going to demo with 315 and show that you're strong and cool and whatnot, then I want it to be legit.
You know? Right. Yep.
So, who knows? So, going back to you being a new box owner, what made you say yes? So, like, I hadn't realized, or maybe I forgot that they had approached you, you didn't approach them. So they approached you. How long did you think about this decision? Because it's a big decision. You know, you have to probably talk to the missus about it and really plan things out. What was the thing that drew you in? What made you want to be a box owner at CrossFit Sona?
Honestly, I hadn't given it much thought before they came to me about it. I was just doing everything I could to be as involved as possible in the day-to-day, you know, operations of the gym, just whatever I felt comfortable offering, any help or anything that I could do to make something run smoother, whether it be, you know, the Sona Slam competitions that we've done, or, you know, helping with the programming, or, you know, just trying to be a resource for my other coaches, you know. And it just kind of evolved into a point where people were coming to me for a lot of things. It was almost like a head, basically walked myself right into a head coach role. And from there, I guess Tracy and Trish had just decided that, you know, it would be more worth my time if I had a stake in the gym. I feel like that's the way they approached it to me, was they didn't feel like they could give me the compensation that they felt I deserved, even though I felt fine. I feel like they've always treated me right, but they wanted to give me more. So I was like, okay, well, let me think about it. And, you know, I'll talk to the wife, and we'll go over it. And yeah, like I said, I think the thing that made me want to say yes was because I trust them, Tracy and Trish. You know, like I said, they've always taken care of me. They've always had my back on everything. And, you know, I think they really I feel valued with those guys, you know, so wanting to be a part of that. And then also the community we have is just amazing. So, why wouldn't I want to be a bigger part of that?
Easy decision.
It was pretty easy. It took a few days. I had to think about it, you know, because obviously there's finances involved and things like that. But, you know, also with what Tracy and Trish brought to me, you know, they were like, hey, we want to obviously give you the opportunity to, you know, have a bigger piece of the pie here. But, you know, we don't want you to go in over your head. So obviously it's not like I bought a ginormous portion. You know what I mean? And I, you know, I'm not going to get into all the numbers and stuff, but, you know, it's just a modest piece, you know, just a minority stake in the business, but it's what I'm comfortable with right now. So I think that was also the thing. It wasn't like they came in and said, hey, we want you to buy 50% or 80% of the gym. You know, I think that would have changed things for me.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, we don't definitely need to go into numbers, but like, that's great that they valued you and they took notice of how good of a job you were doing. They're like, look, we have this guy. He's on his hands and knees, cleaning the gym, doing all this stuff for us. He's running events. He's very valuable. Of course we want to keep him, but, you know, all things considered with COVID and whatnot, how can we bring value to him? You're bringing all this value to them. And I think that's something, if there's like a coach or someone listening here, it's like, are you going above and beyond at the place you're at, or are you just kind of on autopilot and are you working a job? You know, if you're working at, like, let's say Target or something, you're working a job, you know, like you're probably not going to go above and beyond for the company, and the company is certainly probably not going to go above and beyond for you. What my experience was when I worked at a Kmart back in the day, and they're no longer in business, but it's, if anyone's listening, it's like, do the job so well that someone couldn't imagine you not being there, and they almost have no choice but to, you know, say, hey, do you want to be a bigger part of this? Do you want to be on our team?
Yeah. And that was the biggest thing to me. Cause like I said, they've always taken care of me. They've always let me know, like, the Tracy and Trish are not the type of people that ever leave you wondering if they appreciate you, you know, like they're constantly telling you like, hey, you're doing a great job, all this other stuff. So that's, I think, why it was such a big surprise, because I felt valued. I feel like I was being compensated, right? Like I was being treated, you know, amazingly by the two of them. And then they came to me and said that they felt like they weren't doing enough for me. And I was surprised, because I feel like they were doing more than, you know, I've heard some horror stories about coaching at gyms and things like that. And I felt like I was really well taken care of. So, you know, I was very surprised that they felt that way, but I also was kind of humbled by the fact that they felt that they would want to bring me in and be a partner. Cause it's not, that's the biggest part of this thing. It's like, now we're partners. Now we're, you know, there's this extra aspect to the relationship now, this new dynamic, and the fact that they wanted to bring me into that, you know, it means a lot. It's, you know, it's a good feeling.
Yeah. Especially during the time that it's happening right now, because it could have very easily been a decision that was put on the back burner until gyms come out of the whole COVID thing. Yeah. What advice do you have for anyone who's listening who might be in a situation that you're in or that you were in, where either they're approached by someone says, hey, do you want to join our team and be a part owner, you know, and whether it be a big stake or a minority stake, or maybe that's their goal is to get to that point, you know, what advice do you have for them?
I think at the end of the day, like my biggest thing was the conversation I had with my wife. You know, I knew on the business side where I stood with Tracy and Trish, because like I said, they never leave that up. They never left that up to a question for me. They always told me where I stood, very honest and upfront. It was just a matter of, you know, can I make it work for me without putting myself into, in this particular time right now is not the time that I would feel comfortable taking a risk. So not a big risk anyway. I mean, there's always some risk involved. So it was just sitting down with my wife and weighing the risk versus the reward of getting into this, especially now with COVID and gyms and all the uncertainty going on. So, I mean, my advice would be to, you know, just gauge how much risk you're willing to take, you know, and then come up with a plan and then stick to it. You know, like this, they brought this to me before COVID hit. You know, the COVID didn't weigh into my decision. Now there's a lot of legal paperwork and other things that have to be done afterwards. So before everything was signed and done, COVID had come up, gyms were closed, things were going on. So I had plenty of opportunity to back out. But they brought this to me. Like I said, I waited a couple of days, talked to my wife, so on and so forth. I said yes. And, you know, I'd made my plan and COVID hit and I talked to Tracy and Trish and, you know, I wasn't going to back out. You know, I stuck to that plan. You know, so I think the biggest thing that you have to have is trust. You know, it's do you trust the person? Would you trust them with something outside of just business? You know, is this somebody that would be there for you for, you know, something personal? You know, like, can you lean on this person? Because that's, you know, it's what you're going to have to do when times get tough, like COVID. And this won't be the last major thing that we're going to have to deal with. There's always going to be hiccups along the way. You know, can I count on those guys to be there and not, you know, not let the business suffer? And I absolutely 100% feel that way about Tracy and Trish. So I was no problem sticking around.
Yeah, no, I think that's great advice. You have to trust people. You know, I know for, you know, me, Murph and Shy, you know, like Murph and I aren't co-owners of Albany CrossFit or anything, but we are very much invested in Albany CrossFit and want to see it succeed and go above and beyond. And, you know, we all fight and bicker like you would imagine brothers fight and bicker, you know, like people don't see that, but it's like we're a little family behind the scenes and right. Albany CrossFit is the house. You know, so there's all kinds of things on who didn't do the lawn, what color are we going to paint the wall, you know, or anything, you know, but we certainly all trust each other and we can depend and lean on each other. And that if you have that, then you almost have everything because everything else will be super easy.
Right. Yeah. It's very important. I think for me, that was the most important thing was, do I trust these guys? Like if something happened and things headed south, are we going to be able to pull together and make it work? Or are they going to leave me hanging? And, you know, I have no doubts that they would pull together and make it work. You know, like they're two of the most generous people that I've ever met. You know, they take care of their family. So when I feel like they brought me into that family and I don't think they would leave me hanging. So I definitely trust them. And that was probably the biggest thing, you know, going in was, if you were going into a situation like this is can you trust your business partner? So,
yeah, I mean, that's the foundation of any good relationship, you know, can I trust this person?
Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah. Think about it. I mean,
now you're going into this new venture, you have maybe new responsibilities, maybe not, you know, but there's certainly gonna be a lot more on your mind. Me as your coach, I'm like, all right, well, there's still weightlifting to be done. There's still championships to be won, things like that. So far, I've noticed that this has not affected your training at all. So I'm super happy about that.
Nothing's changed. No, we're still lifting.
Yeah, we're still lifting. We're still hitting all the lifts we need to do. How's it felt? Or how's training been feeling lately?
Good. I mean, I've been making my sessions. I haven't been missing days or anything like that. Not that I ever really do. I don't really miss much time, but like day here or there if I have like an injury or something going on. But been getting in, body's been feeling good. Slowly coming back, you know, I had a couple little nagging things from the last cycle or two. Knee thing and my wrist and whatnot, but every day's a little bit better. And the only bad thing right now is that the girls are kicking my butt every day, but
yeah, I mean, Diana's out for blood all the time. Yeah,
I know.
I'm gonna get Diana on the podcast here eventually just to kind of talk about her story and all the amazing things that she's done. But like how does it weigh on you at all when you're going into your session and you're like, man, she like set like triple PRs and all this other stuff, or maybe you don't know what she's done if I haven't told you yet. And does it push you at all? Are you pushing a little extra on your lifts to try to beat her?
I mean, I've always gone in and done my best. Like I don't usually slack on a day. Unless I'm really feeling like garbage, I might, take it easy on a day or two, but I push for PRs constantly. So yeah. I'm always trying to just set a new record with myself. So I compete with myself pretty hard, but there is that extra little boost of competition that gets the juices going, a little extra adrenaline, right? Cause it's hard to amp yourself up some days, but when you know that, cause I lift the same days as the barbell club. I just usually lift in the morning. So I usually lift first. So I know that I've got to set a good number. Cause I don't want to make it easy on those guys
I don't even tell Diana what you've done. She just starts going and then she's at 100%. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this your hang's PR snatch? She's like, oh yeah. And then she on Wednesday, she did 100% hang snatch from the knees and two snatch bounces at 110. And that was her 110 pounds, not kilos, but, and that was her old one rep max. So she fought for that. She missed it a couple times actually. Yeah. So it was a battle and she went after it and she finally got it. And then that lift from the floor was probably one of the better 110s I've seen her hit from the floor. So that complex definitely carried over nicely into that. And I don't know if I told you, but she PR'd her hang clean and push jerk again. Last week she got 140 for a 5 pound PR and three push jerks. On Friday she did 150 for two push jerks. So she put another 10 pounds on it. And then after that for the split jerk, she PR'd 155, which is a lifetime PR clean and jerk. So it's like, she's just on a tear.
Yeah. She's ripping it up. She's going to be hard to beat, but I'm game. So we'll see. We got singles this week. That's more up my alley. So we'll see what happens.
That's what I've been anticipating. I'm like, okay, the triples and doubles, that's because Diana is also a hardcore CrossFitter. So it favors her, these lifts. And when she hits the snatch complex, there's no rest, Frank. Like she's right back on the bar to get another lift in from the floor. When I hit the complex, I'm taking a minute or two, and then I'm going to do it from the floor.
Go lay down, take a nap.
Yeah, I go lay down. I've got one of those eye visors on. But she gets right back on it, and she's hitting another snatch. And I'm like, oh, man, there's no rest going on. But she's so used to doing that in CrossFit-wise. There's something about CrossFit training that I'm convinced now in just watching her. It teaches you to attack, kill. And there's just – It's a good thing right now. Other times, you definitely want to rein that in, but that's just how she is. So it's been really crazy to watch. But I think going into singles week,
working,
you're going to have the advantage here, I think, on singles week.
I don't know if I'd call it an advantage. I think I would just have a better shot. She's been PRing everything lately, so I think she's still got a little bit of an advantage on me. But I'm not going to go down without a fight, so.
It'll be interesting to see what happens when we're at one hang clean and one push jerk, which her old method of jerking was the push jerk. So that's why she's been killing this complex. Like the split jerk is the foreign thing for her, getting her to split jerk. But if she, I think she could totally hit 160 on this coming Wednesday, and on the snatch, she might. I'm gonna try to get her to go for 120, because her PR from the floor is 115 for a triple. But I think with only having to do one snatch and one snatch bounce, I think we can get a lot more out of her. It's gonna be a big day for her, you know, coming up. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I'm gonna go for it tomorrow. I'm hoping I can get another crack at putting 160 on for the high hang clean, because I haven't done that since we did that last time, and I may not be able to push jerk it, but I'll give a split jerker crack.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it up there, that's like a game time decision. That's a hard time to make a split decision after the clean. You're like, wait, will I split or will I push jerk? And then it ends up being like
combination
of the two.
I think I'll make that decision before I pick up the bar, because we'll have to see how 50 and 55 or 6 or whatever I do in between, like, see how those go.
Yeah.
I also might start messing, since we're on singles, I might start messing with some different jumps, because I don't know if and when we get another competition on the schedule, but I've got to start kind of practicing kind of where I'd want to be for my attempts, you know, and I don't think I'd want to go like 40, 50, 60. So I might start messing with some numbers in between.
Yeah, this is a great time to practice it mid-cycle, first time on singles for a while. I would say, you know, from my perspective, I would rather you, let's say you hit 150 or 155 with the push jerk or something like that, and then you're going for 160, just ditch the push jerk and just get the a clean and a jerk for the 160. I think that'd be a more productive thing to do than to like go for the push jerk and it's like, all right, that's clearly the upper limit was like 150 or 155. I'd rather you connect the clean and a jerk, because that's the end game. That's the big goal.
Right. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that's a funny story. We can bring that up right now. I just have to make sure that I videotape it correctly, unlike my last clean and jerk PR. So I had that hiccup there. Well, okay. So give me your take on this, right? Well, slightly switching subjects, but while we're here, it's sort of that, like, if a tree falls in the woods and no one's around to hear it, did it make a sound? Like, it's like one of those, right? So I clean and jerk from the floor. What was it? A 3 kilo PR, 155 kilos.
Yep.
And I go to check my phone afterwards and watch the video back, and I have all the audio and the screen is just black. Like, there was some sort of corruption in the file. I had witnesses there, but I don't have the video. So does it count?
I'm going to need signs.
Did it happen?
Every witness. No, I'm kidding.
notarized.
Signed in blood, notarized with like one of those old candle wax seals.
Yeah.
So did you try to, I sent you some links on ways that you can try to salvage the file.
I tried everything, man. Nothing worked.
Yeah. All right. Well, it goes back to trust, right? Like I've never had any reason to believe that you would fake a lift or report something that didn't happen, that in the entire couple of years that I've known you. And I know that weightlifting and these PRs are important enough to you that you would never do that.
Right.
And plus, anyone who lies about their lifts, at some point you are exposed, you know, and the first place you'll be exposed is at a competition. So right. I believe you got it. Plus I could hear it. I could hear the audio of, you know, like you setting up the little click off the floor, the clean, little clap of the feet there. And then I could hear the feet split and then the drop of the bar. And then I heard Tracy in the background say, was that a 5 kilo or 6 kilo PR? And then you corrected her and you said, no, it was 3. So yeah. I'm very confident that the lift did happen. You know, there was a sound when this tree fell.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was like feeling a little bad about myself. A couple people were busting my chops about it, saying, oh, it didn't count. No video doesn't count.
Yeah. I mean, I disappointed that I didn't get to post it for the world to see on social media? Yeah, because that's what I'm all about. But
and as far as PRs go too, like I felt like it would have been a decent looking lift. So,
well,
would have been one worth sharing.
We're just going to have to get 160 instead to make up for it, you know, and see what happens with that.
Yeah, definitely.
But overall, training's been going good. Your lifts are looking good. How are you feeling about the experiment we've been doing? You know, I've talked about this on a couple shows, and I've told all of you guys in the club that we're doing an experiment where normally we would do a complex or lifts from a hang position, and that's it for the day. But now we have all these single lifts from the floor interwoven in, and just to kind of see what kind of carryover we can get. And I know how it feels for me, and I'm seeing how it's doing for other people, but you're the first person I'm getting direct verbal feedback from. How has it been transitioning from one piece, like a complex, to a full lift? Good or bad so far?
I think it's been pretty good. I think it's been pretty good so far. I think that it's been tough for me because I'm dealing with that wrist issue still. So having snatch balances and push presses and push jerks and overhead squats, I mean, it's a lot of stress on the wrist, especially when I'm like re-racking a push jerk or something. So I think it'll be a little less stressful this week with singles. I don't think it'll be as big of a deal, but overall, I mean, for what I've been able to do, I've had to kind of chip it off for the top sets just to make sure that I'm not making anything worse on my wrist. But just
salvage, you know, I've been, that wrist.
Yeah, but I've been working up to, you know, I've only skipped the single on like the very top sets. Like I've done them all the way up, and then just when it gets to a certain point where I'm starting to feel pain, then I'll knock it off. But that's usually only like the last one or two sets, and that's just because I really want to push the complex, you know. But you know, they've been good. They're humbling. I mean, you know, when your legs are tired and your shoulders are tired, like you really have to rely on your technique. So especially that first week, like it really showed me like how sloppy I can get when I'm tired.
On those triples.
Yeah. Like even more so than an EMOM. Like usually at the end of an EMOM, you know, you're like, oh, I'm exhausted, and your technique might, you know, fault a little bit. But honestly with this, because you don't have that 50-60 seconds of rest in between attempts, you're doing the full complex, you're dropping it, and then you're going right into another lift. I mean, thinking about like week one when we were doing triples and then going into the clean and jerks, that's five lifts. You know, we were doing clean, three push presses, then a clean, and then a jerk. I mean, it's exhausting, especially for however many sets that I have to take to warm up.
You know, that top end. I've noticed for myself on let's say like the snatch balance complex, mm-hmm. that I go under faster and more aggressively on the lifts from the floor than maybe I normally would had I not done a prep set on that complex with a snatch from the knees and maybe two or three snatch bounces. It just, right. I feel like, plus I also, like you said, I feel more tired on weights that I wouldn't feel this fatigued on normally, right. if I was just doing singles. So I feel like it's forcing me to put more effort into weights that maybe I even might be sloppy in, because I'm like, well, this isn't something I have to worry about. I'm just going to do it. Like, I know I'm going to get it. There's no question about it. But now all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm a little winded from doing a hang snatch and three snatch balances, rest a little bit, and I go to sit up on the bar, and you can kind of feel, like you said, your legs feel a little jelly at that point. You have to push a little harder.
Yeah, no, that's exactly it, because like I've noticed, like I don't miss like 100 kilos very often. Like it's rare anymore. Like there was a point where we were struggling to get that. And then now it's like pretty automatic. Like we're usually can cruise right up through 100 kilos without any misses. And, you know, for 90 and 100 to feel the way that they haven't felt like this in a long time. So it's kind of like bringing me back to when I was like trying to get those weights. And like that's how they feel again. It's like I'm trying to get it for the first time. They feel a lot heavier.
I think this is a good thing too, to like that feeling and what I was just talking about on respecting the weights that you put on the bar and not getting complacent with training. And because if you're always hitting the same numbers over and over again, day after day, it just becomes like switching on a light switch, you know, which is not a bad thing. You want to be able to be automatic and react, but you don't want to be in that complacent mindset. So I think adding that little extra level of respect to 100 again or any other little weights is good, and seeing the value in those weights too. You know, like some people, they skip warmups. I'm going to throw him under the bus. Mr. Schaff the other day, when we're warming up for the EMOM on Monday, and I come over and he's already got 135 pounds on the bar. And I look up, and I'm like, we just started warming up. I'm like, what did you, what? And he's no extra plates around. So I already knew that he just
went straight
up to that. Yeah. And I'm like, what did you hit before this? And he's like, you know, when he does that thing and he looks down before. Because he can't, it's like, look me in the eye when you lie to me. He just jumped up to 135. And I'm like, I do not approve this. This is not good.
You don't approve of me doing it.
No. And you don't do it. You lift way more than he does. Yeah. His working set, his working weights was 70 kilos for the day. So he
warm up set and that was it?
Yeah, one warm up set and then dove into it. And it's like, all right, I'm happy you're here right now. And I have bigger fish to fry in the room. But next week we're warming up for it. So it's a whole thing.
That's funny. I totally believe that happened.
Yep, it did. It happened. So. I'll get him next time.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some things going on here in the world of New York State. Mm. So our big goal, team's goal, was, of course, the state championships. And that's canceled, which, I don't know, maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel here, because Governor Cuomo announced last week that tomorrow or today, depends on when you're listening to this, Monday, the 17th of August, he's going to be releasing protocols and guidelines for gyms to reopen.
Right.
He was sued by the New York Fitness Alliance, which if you go on Instagram and just type in NY Fitness Alliance, you can see there all the information that they have there. And he had to make a statement. He had to provide proof as to why gyms in New York State were closed. Scientific evidence. Why are we closed? And of course, he didn't have any. So right. Now he's in a situation where he's like, okay, on Monday, we'll announce guidelines. Which I'm ready to move past the point and whatnot, but it is a little infuriating that it's like, you didn't have any proof. You knew you didn't have any proof. Why were you doing this to us? You know, like, so it's, I don't know. It's a whole thing. I don't know what will come of it for him. Probably nothing. There's probably, I think that's part of what bothers me is that there's no repercussions when people do things like that. He can just get away with it, you know, but at least we'll be open again. So I'm hoping that if gyms are allowed to reopen, let's say he says September 1st, that's when you guys can reopen. Here are the protocols and guidelines. Get your acts together between now and September 1st, that maybe meets will start to pop up again. Actually, they will. Like, they'll start to pop up again, whether it be the New York State Championships or not. We're going to get some meets going on this fall. So I'm pumped for this.
Yeah, me too. I've got to get back on the platform. Like, I love training and pushing and whatever, but I mean, you know, there's a reason we do this. And I don't do it for, you know, my own fun behind the scenes. Like, I do it because I want to compete. So I definitely want to get back out on the platform soon. I understand the risks and things that could be associated with that. So I understand not rushing, and I get the decision to cancel the New York State Championship meet and all that, but yeah, I'm just hopeful that as soon as it's safe that we can get back to it. And I hope that that's sooner than later. So with this announcement that Cuomo is going to be hopefully giving us some guidelines here so we can open soon. I'm just hoping that the guidelines aren't too strict to where it's, you know, barely better than being closed. You know, that's kind of the feeling a lot of people have, is that it's going to be very, very strict and very difficult, you know, especially with some of the restrictions he put on like malls and their air filtration and whatnot. So, you know, I'm not getting too excited too soon, but we'll see.
Yeah. What I think is that even if it's restricted, I think that gyms like ours will be still in a good spot, because I think when most people think of gyms, they think of big box global fitness centers.
Right.
That are going to have 200 people all over the place on dumbbells and treadmills and things like that. So let's say if they say, okay, you can only operate at 25% your facility's capacity or something like that. Well, at least for Albany CrossFit, we have a giant building and multiple pieces with the rackets and group exercise and stuff like that. So 25% of the entire building means regular CrossFit, you know,
right?
For us. But if we were a big box gym, like, you know, like Planet Fitness or something like that, or someplace that's going to be packed, that would be a big deal. Or someplace in New York City that has just several floors of machines that people are in, that would be a huge big deal. So I feel like for little gyms like ours, it won't hurt as much unless he comes out with, okay, CrossFit gyms specifically, you can only have 4 people per class or this or that, you know?
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough. And I, you know, we've all hated the fact that they lumped all the fitness, you know, every industry into just gyms, right? Like, I mean, there's martial arts studios and yoga studios and spin facilities and all sorts of different kinds of fitness, boxing gyms and regular
personal training,
global gym, personal training, all this other stuff that, and they're all just lumping it in together and treating it like everybody is a giant big box global gym. And, you know, I think every facility has its own different risks, you know, like in my gym, people aren't wrestling and grappling and touching each other. You know, but in other, you know, in other gyms, maybe they're not using assault air bikes that are circulating air throughout the room. I don't know. So there's all
no
sorts
one's going
to different...
complain if we don't use those.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That'd be the first thing they want to get rid of. Right. But you know, so every industry has its own different risks, and for them to lump it all into one, it just doesn't make sense. You know, you would think that there would have been at least some separation on, you know, the size of your gym and whether you're a personal or group training studio versus a, you know, 24-hour fitness.
Yeah. So, I'll be interested to see, you know, like we just got to wait one more day. It kind of feels like Christmas, you know, where we've waited so long since March. I'm like, all right, I need Monday to get here, and hopefully they announce it first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
But seems to come in the afternoon when these announcements are made. So hopefully it'll be something favorable. And you know what, when we get back to doing meets and stuff like that, I know the new protocol that they were talking about at some of these meets is to like wipe down the bar after every lift and wipe down your bars in the warm-up rooms and stuff like that. And some people were upset about it, but I'll do it. I'll do whatever the heck I have to do. If it means we're there and it just takes a little longer in between lifts, I know for me, I'll take the extra minute. You know, just as long as the conditions remain safe, like I don't want a wet bar. I don't want a slippery bar or a slippery platform. So if we can make sure it's safe, they'll probably clean the bar and then chalk it up again or something like that. Whatever you need to do to make it work, I'm cool with. And as long as that means we can compete again, because I would rather have to go through that than to not be able to do the sport.
Right. That's the thing. If it gets me out on the platform again, then I'm happy. It's kind of like this whole thing. There's so many people out there in the world right now that are like, I don't want to wear a mask and this and that. But I'm like, hey, if it means I can go out to dinner with my wife and I have to wear a mask until I get to my table, or, you know, whatever the thing, like, it's not that ridiculous. Like, I'm just want to do my part to make sure that I'm not part of the problem. Right. So, you know, if we have to, you know, clean barbells and wipe down our plates and whatever, like, we're doing that at our own gyms anyway. You know, that's going to be part of the protocol to open your gym, is to have cleaning procedures in place where people are cleaning their equipment. So, you know, it's not going to be like any other day.
And you know what, to be fair too, it's what we're doing anyways right now. It's probably what we should have all been doing for it too, right?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Like I know, you know, I don't think there's any gym out there that can confidently say, and I'm not sure if I believe you, that all of your barbells are cleaned after every usage, that you're wiping down every single plate, you know, and things like that. Those are typically the things that don't get cleaned. You know, maybe once a week, you're going to put some WD-40 on the ends and you're going to shave off all the chalk and things like that. Maybe you clean it off that way, but no one was disinfecting their bar unless it was your personal bar all the time.
Yeah,
or
no,
at least definitely not the plates.
Our guys are pretty good about, you know, brushing chalk and whatnot, but yeah, nobody was taking disinfectant and wiping their barbell and their plates and their dumbbells and everything down. And, you know, it's pretty funny that it takes something like this to make you realize how gross everything is, because you've been to my gym and you know how clean we keep the place, and still it's nothing compared to what we have to do now with everything going on. You know, like we are very proud of how clean our facility is, and then it doesn't hold a candle to the standard that we have to have with this going on. You know, the amount of hand sanitizing and you know, just constantly cleaning equipment and everything. It's pretty crazy how much we've all had to step it up.
Which public service announcement, for the love of God, don't spray the barbell directly. Spray the paper spray the paper towel and then wipe down the barbell. But if you soak the barbell,
You're never going to try.
Yeah, you're never getting to try. There's those little knurlings in there, and plus it'll start to rust a little bit. So for the love of God, disinfect it by spraying the towel or whatever you're using, and it would be better to use a cloth towel than a paper towel, because the paper towel is going to shred and you're going to get little pieces of paper all over the bar. Yep. So cloth towel, wipe down the bar, you're good. But I caught someone the other day at the gym just soaking a barbell, and I was like, my eyes rolled in the back of my head. I was like, no, what are you doing?
Yeah, especially when they get down near the collars and you see it like wanting to like go into the behind the sleeve and get in with all the
Yeah, cringe. That's cringe. Don't do that. I mean, I'm hypersensitive to cleaning barbells and whatnot, because that's how I hurt myself really bad a couple years ago when someone saturated a barbell in oil.
Slipped. Yeah,
because they didn't just oil the collars and whatnot; they oiled the shaft of the bar, and that was a whole thing. Yeah. I won't go into that story, but so yeah, use cloth, spray the cloth, wipe down the barbell, and we'll be cleaner and better than ever before. And I'm glad that we're going to get a chance to do this the right way, because I mean, I know at our gym we've been doing the outdoor classes, and everyone pretty much in New York State's doing the outdoor classes. We've been hyper focused on doing things in a way that we see other states doing. You have to wear a mask when you show up, not when you work out, unless you want to. Everything is cleaned. You know, we're trying to do our best to keep everyone social distance apart. And now we're going to get a chance to do it inside. And the statistics that they have on the New York Fitness Alliance's Instagram page speak for themselves too. Like, I got it right here. 49.4 million check-ins. Out of those check-ins, the ratio of COVID cases is 0.002%. It's like non-existent. Out of 42,731 visits to a gym, one case or one instance. So it's like, it can be done. I feel like those numbers have to be better than department stores, bars, restaurants, all that type of thing. So I think we just need to be given the chance to show that health and fitness is important. It's something that we should be talking about. You know, on the news, they should be telling you to go to a gym. You know, they shouldn't be talking about, well, you go to a restaurant now and order a cheeseburger. When I should be like, you should go to a gym and work out and exercise and take care of your body. You should drink water. You should eat healthy. You know, you should get sun.
Yeah, there's a lot of things the news gets wrong, but we won't get into that today.
No, that's a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other story.
Well, other things in the news kind of along these lines is the CrossFit Games are going to be going down in a brand new way. And I'm actually kind of excited for it. But in one of the earlier shows, you and I had our predictions on what the CrossFit Games would become, and we were both totally wrong. So we're both.
I think you were closer than I was.
Well, I was probably closer on maybe when it would happen, but like, I'm still going to give myself the L on, I never thought it would come to this, where now in September, which I think maybe I said September, I don't remember what we said, but in September, they're going to do an online competition. It's going to last 2 to 3 days, starts September 18th, and athletes from around the world will be able to do the CrossFit Games Part 1 in their home gym or wherever they're going to do it. Then the top five will progress to an in-person competition from October 19th to October 25th in Northern California. And I think that this is exciting for two reasons. One, it's going to space out the competition in an entertaining way. I get to watch cool things happen in September. Then I get to watch them happen again in October. I have no stake in this game other than being a spectator. So of course I want to see more. So now I get to see more that way. And I think the competition in California with only the top five for that number of days, it's going to be ultra competitive, and it should be, if they program correctly, very exciting. You can do anything with five people. The logistics are like, it's a dream.
Yeah, it definitely, you don't have to worry about fitting in. What were they having, like 50 person heats at the games last year in the first couple of events? Like, you don't have to worry about all that. So that'll be cool. I think it'll be kind of neat to kind of pull it almost like the old open style. Like, you know, it's like redoing the open again, you know, but just with a much smaller starting pool. So they're going to basically redo, the 30 men, 30 women, and kind of pull from that online competition to see who goes. So you're going to see these guys are going to be going hard. But they don't get any redos, and that's going to be the cool thing. Is I think it's all going to be live streamed simultaneously, if I'm not mistaken.
I think they're going to be. If it's not,
yeah, I think they're going to be doing it like they did that that Rogue Invitational or whatever that they did online, where everybody's going to be going at the same time. So you only get one crack at it. So they're going to be going hard. It won't be like the Open in the sense that like they kind of take a crack at it and then they go back and they readjust and re-scheme and come back and they, you know, crush their old score.
I think that's going to be interesting. That's the right decision to not, to have it do them live. You can't redo it. No redos.
Yeah.
I don't like redos even in the Open. Yeah. I think redoing an Open workout is complete BS. You know, like just leave it all on the table. Number one, most people who are redoing those workouts don't need to be redoing them. It's going to hurt yourself that way, but that's a whole other conversation. But I think that's a great thing that they're doing with that. And I also like the fact that they're going to push so hard because like you said, because they can't see what everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. And this is the CrossFit Games. Do you want to be top five or not? Okay. Yeah. It reminds me of last year's games. This was something that I noticed. Noah Olsen was in the lead for so much of the last CrossFit Games. And in that last workout, the standard, 30 clean and jerks, 30 muscle-ups, 30 snatches, 135, 95 on the bar. Noah Olsen gets off the rings first, goes to the barbell, and like a lot of other dudes out there, hitting singles on 135 pounds, hit a snatch, drop it, hit a snatch, drop it. And that's that like pacing, break it up, drop it mindset that everyone tries to do in training. And then here comes Matt Frazier right behind him, bust out five in a row, just hits, just sets. And it's like, yes, that's what you're supposed to do in these workouts. Like if, are you doing CrossFit? Or are you doing weightlifting? Are we doing an EMOM? Like hold on to it and rip it. This is a lightweight for you. And he just blew everyone out of the water. This is the final event and you're dropping it after the first one. Why are you not repping out 10 on something that's like 40-30% your max?
But that's gonna be something that we might miss too, because they're not gonna be able to pace off each other. You know, they're not gonna be able to see, you know, if you look back and see like someone like Rich Froning in his heyday, and he would just watch and see and just kind of keep pace with everybody and then pull away at the end. You know, he would.
That's what I want. I want them to not see each other and to just go hard, just go for the whole time.
Right. So I'm saying like it's going to be interesting to see how they act, because some people perform better that way when they can pace off of the leaders and then sprint the finish. Other people can just set the pace and go. So it's going to be interesting when everybody has to set their own pace and how they do.
And
it's not as easy as you might think to change your mindset that, you know, from one to the other.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it goes down to how do you train? You know, if you're always training that pacing way, always training to drop every rep, then I feel like you're going to be in trouble for this competition. And I think you're going to more than likely need to start stringing together some reps and to make up some ground here and there on some movements where you would normally, like you said, be watching to see what everyone else is doing.
Right.
And that five or that top five competition is going to be incredible.
That's going to be wild. I hope that they do it right. You know, CrossFit's done a lot in the last few months to try and make a lot of things right. So I hope they keep it up and nail this, because I think they've done a lot of the right things that the community's asked for. You know, so I think they keep the momentum going and put on a good event.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want, with that top five, you don't want to have events like a triple three where you're going to run 3 miles, row a 3K, and then through 300 double unders. You know, like you want to see not crazy stuff, but like exciting things that really pits these top five against one another, where no one's safe on any of the workouts. It's every man for himself. Do you think they're going to pull through? Do you think, because CrossFit does stick to their guns, they stick to the way that they've always done things and whatnot. So we could have a lot of lame events. Do you think they're going to pull through and the online competition won't be like the Open, where there's like a 20-minute AMRAP of wall balls and rowing and box jumps or stuff like that? And do you think that the in-person will be different than the last CrossFit Games or the last couple, where they're literally going to exhaust every avenue to legitimately find the fittest person on earth?
I think that they there's enough out there with what Rogue did for the Invitational that I think that, and especially because Rogue's a partner, I believe, or they were a partner. I don't know where they stand right now after all that everything went down.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, they were partners with Rogue, so they have the ability to send these kits to everyone. It's not like with the Open where you don't know what equipment everybody's going to have. You don't know if they're going to have a rower. You don't know if they're going to have a certain amount of weight for a barbell. You have to take into consideration varying abilities and stuff like that. This is the best of the best. It's the 30 top people that qualified for the games. So I think that they're going to, you know, send out kits and really push them. You know, like if you don't have rings, you better find a place that, you know, you better have, you know, we're going to give you a barbell and plates and make sure that you've got, you know, any special implements that we need, and they'll just send it to them because it's only 30 people, or 60 people, I guess, 30 men, 30 women, right? So I think that it would be smart to do it that way because that's what they did for the Rogue Invitational. They sent them kits of equipment, and it standardized everything. You have to use our equipment, our barbell, our plates. There's no, you know, it takes a lot of the cheating risk out of it, and it
yeah, because it's not hard to, you know, like take apart a wall ball and take some of the stuffing out and sew it back up. It's not a hard thing to do.
Yeah, and you would hope that these people would be, you know, they're the top of their sport. You would hope that they would be honest, but we all know people get busted for cheating all the time, you know, whether it be steroid use or other stuff, you know. So
well, there's money and fame to be gained, and if you're a part of the top five, this is the most exposure you're getting all year, and this is this is going to be a historical games, one or the other. I hope it goes in the historical sense of this was incredible, and let's do this going forward. This is the best format possible, as few people as possible, because they tried to do that last year with the top 10, and it kind of fell through a little bit because of the whole cuts thing and whatnot, but they have another crack at it to do it the right way. But yeah, I think something that will eliminate the risk of cheating, and I think that's the way to do it, to send those kits.
Yeah, I think they have to do it that way. So I think with that, I think it opens up the programming more, so then you don't have to rely on dumbbell snatches and wall balls as the core of your, you know, your workout, you know. So I think they'll be doing a lot more than what we would expect. I bet you a lot of the events are things that you would normally see at a games. The way they set it up, the only thing that you might not see is things that involve like distances, like handstand walks and stuff like that. They might not program it just because of it has to be filmed and on camera. I don't know if they're going to have, you know, the ability to control all that for everyone. So
yeah, you're probably not going to have those handstand walk ramps and stuff like that.
Yeah, they might save that stuff for when they get to Aromas, some of the different gymnastics and whatnot. But you know, I think you'll probably get some pretty good events. I would hope. I mean,
it should be workouts too, that as soon as they announce them and people watch it, the community wants to do them like right away. Like that same example, like Triple Three, no one wanted to do that workout. Like we've programmed it before, but that's not like, oh, that's badass, I can't wait to do that.
That's the day everybody cancels.
Yeah, that's the day everyone cancels. But that movement, or that workout, the standard, I thought that was a cool workout, you know, 30 clean jerks, 30 muscle ups, and 30 snatches. But that's just me. Like I was like, okay, this is cool. I liked last year's complete final.
All those the final was great. Yeah, and like you said, it's just you know, hoping that they can attack it the right way, and you know, seeing how they react to the format. You know, I think it can go a couple different ways. So I'm gonna be curious to see, kind of like after event one, kind of what the mindset is like. How everybody's like, oh, they're, you know, these guys are going like this, or they're going, you know, this hard, that hard, and what adjustments everybody has to make.
Yeah,
you know.
And it's going to be interesting when they get out there to Northern California. I think they're going all over. They're going to be in the woods. They're going to like drop them off on a helicopter in some field and be like, all right, the first person that gets out of here, you know, without being mauled by a mountain lion. Do you see that Dave Castro post where they had the trail cams up and there's like a giant mountain lion?
Oh, no, I didn't see that. I'll have to go check it out.
Yeah, it was. So they're going to just be out there.
Yeah, I saw the one of Castro eating it off of a box jump. Did you see that one?
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's good thing it was using a soft box. I wonder if that's something like a hint, He's like, I'm going to bust my ass now on this box jump. This is somehow a coded hint that we're going to do 2,000 box jumps or some crazy thing.
Yeah. So
you know I'm excited. They should have to do box jumps and then carry and run with that box up like some giant hill.
Could you imagine?
Some other stuff.
Yeah. Those boxes are not easy to carry. They're not heavy. They're just so awkward.
Yeah. The weight distribution. Now, who do you think's going? Men's side. Who's your top five?
I think you'll see Matt.
Yep.
I think Vellner's in good shape right now. Chandler Smith. I've been watching him a lot. I think
he's pretty good.
He's good and he's making a lot of progress. So I think he'd be one of the ones that I'm looking for. Who else? I'm trying to think of
Vellner
might go.
I think Vellner's got a shot.
I think Vellner. I think Chandler Smith, probably Noah. And the fifth one would be a wild card. There could be, you know, anybody. It depends on how they program. You know, like if they program a lot of gymnastic stuff, you might see somebody like Alex Smith sneak in. If they program a lot of lifting, you might see, you know, some of the bigger guys weasel their way in. So I don't know.
Who's the one really tall guy from last
Fikowski?
Fikowski. Tall Icelandic guy. I wonder if a Fikowski could sneak in. You know, I wouldn't put it past him. I'm hoping maybe, you know, some of the veterans could pop in. Do you think there's a chance, since they're not really doing teams, that maybe a Froning could pop in there? That would be incredible. You know, that would be the most exciting thing in the world if Rich Froning comes back, individual competition, makes the top five, wins the CrossFit Games. So, all right, let me ask you this follow-up question. Rich Froning makes the comeback. He wins this year.
Yeah.
There is a slight, I guess, asterisk to this, maybe. You could tell me your opinion on that, too, because it's not the full CrossFit Games. But he beats Matt Frazier and the other top five dudes, let's say Chandler Smith, Noah Olsen, et cetera, Pat Vellner. Is he now solidified as the greatest of all time?
I mean, I think he already is until Matt wins number five.
Is he? Well, Froning's – well, they're tied, right?
Yeah, I still think Froning did it first. Froning beat Matt. Matt's never beat Rich.
True.
You know, so, I mean, you know, I think that's the tiebreaker right now.
I think he needs to come back.
Yeah, no, I mean, right now, though, you could have the argument, right? You could say, well, look at Matt's competition. Look how much this, that, and the other thing. You know, like, you can make the argument for Matt easily. And I think, you know, you'd probably be right. But
I think you need to somehow rate two competition versus competition. Because, like, Froning had Kalipa on his heels the whole time. Yeah, Kalipa was no joke.
Yeah, Ben Smith was in his prime back then. He had a few really good guys, you know, Panchik and Bailey, and those guys were in
and
there.
And Ben Smith beat Frazier. Frazier would have had a games in there early on.
15, I think,
He lost out on that rope climb workout.
He took second, I think, 2 years in a row. I think he took second in 14. And then everybody assumed he was going to come back in 15 and win, and he didn't.
Yeah. So he took second in 14 to Rich. Right. Then he took second to Ben in 15. Mm-hmm. And then ever since then, he's just been on a tear.
Yep. And then you've got all the team titles that Rich has won. He's won, three or four affiliate cups?
Yeah, a couple of those with different teams.
Too. With different teams, different partners. And everybody knows that he's the captain. He's the one that's doing all the strategy and all the practice. And he programs all their training and everything. So, I mean, he gets a lot of credit for that, too. So he's got all that added on. You know, so I think you could easily make the argument for either or, you know. But I think once Matt wins five, it's
whatever. Yeah,
but to answer your question, I think if Rich came back and beat Matt, he beat Matt. That's it. I think the argument's between those two. So whether you want to count the other people or not, did he beat Matt would be the question. So if he beat Matt, I think that would do.
That would be cool. All right. The final event is done. And then they have strobe lights going off and some kind of compartment raises up from the floor. There's fog everywhere. And they're like, oh, and look, it's one more event. It's for the top person to go head to head. And Rich Froning walks out like the Terminator.
It's
just some surprise thing. It's like instant throwdown.
Yeah. I mean, he's done well. I mean, he qualified for the games for the Open individually. He was top 30.
Yeah. He just decides not to go.
Yeah. And he's not training for the games. You know, it's like when he was training for the games, he was winning the Open, you know? So it's like, you know, he's training for the team thing, and he does that because he says he wants to have the time for his family. So he's obviously training less than what he was. You know, between that and he's a little older and so on, you know, I mean, I think if he wanted it and he wanted to train for it, he probably could give him a run.
Yeah. I would hope to see it before, you know, he gets too much, you know, too much up there in the Masters age range. And, you know, like, it's kind of like you'd want to see, if you have all these goats around, you want to see them kind of compete somewhat in their prime.
Yeah. And it does kind of stink that you don't see them, like, Rich doesn't even do individuals at the sanctional competitions or anything. So, cause even that would be fun to watch if you see them go to, like, I don't know, Abu Dhabi or something, and Rich and Matt are throwing down in the desert. That'd be cool. You know, I'd watch that for sure. So,
yeah, definitely. So those are your picks for the guys. Who are they again?
I would say Matt, Vellner, Chandler Smith. I said Noah, and then I'd probably say somebody like Royce Dunn would do it. Like, he's like a big, strong dude. Like, he lifts a ton of weight. I just like him. So I'll throw that one.
He's the weightlifter in there.
Yeah, he's just a big, strong monster.
I think my list would include maybe for that. I think you have the top four pretty solid. I think I wouldn't count out like your Pancheks and people like that to kind of sneak in and snipe a spot. How about for the ladies?
Okay, this one's tough, right? I think Tia's a given. I think everybody assumes Tia would be there. For the ladies, I think Sarah does really well online. She does very well in the Open. And she does pretty well in the sanctional events. For some reason, she can't put it together at the games. So I think this would be her best chance to... Sarah Sigmund's daughter I'm talking about. I think it would be a very good chance for her to get in and get into that top five. And then once she's in attacking range, you don't know what she could, you know, with five people, it's going to be grouped very close, you know. It wouldn't take much for her to jump in and podium. So there's that. Number three would be, I think, did Jamie Green retire or is she still going?
That I'm not sure.
She's been phenomenal. She was great last year. I like her a lot. Carrie Pierce has been in my newsfeed a lot. I've seen her train. I don't know if I don't know how that would kind of shake out.
She'd be one of my picks to go.
Yeah, I mean she's got like a Sam Briggs type engine, and gymnastically she's just phenomenal, and she's really working on her weightlifting. I think she's been working with Danny Casey.
Laura Horvath. So,
what's that?
Laura Horvath.
No, Carrie Pierce.
Oh no, that was just saying another person.
Laura Horvath. No, I don't think her. You know who my sneaky number five would be? Would be Kara Saunders.
Oh, okay. I forgot all about her.
Yeah, coming back from the baby and everything, but she came back, had the baby, came back. Placed in the Open enough to qualify for the games. She's in great shape, and she does well again with these online type things. So I think she'd be good. The only disadvantage for her is she's in Australia. So she's going to be at like a crazy time difference. She's going to be competing at like midnight. While everybody else is competing midday. So as long as, I don't know if she can travel somewhere and safely do it, or if she's going to do it from home and just, you know, fight through. But that one's more of like a selfish who would I want to see type of pick versus like, just because that, you know, picking a fifth person, it could be anybody. It could be a Laura Horvath or Stan Briggs could, you know, figure out a way to get in there again because she's amazing, you know.
So recap, who's your top five for the ladies?
I said Tia, Sarah, Jamie Green, Carrie Pierce, and Kara Saunders.
Okay, so we have both top fives. Out of the men, who do you think is going to win? This is
hard to go against Matt. Unprecedented
games format.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Matt, though. He's just good at everything.
Okay, so we're making predictions now here on the show. We'll see if we were right or wrong. You're saying Matt. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the top five is pretty legit. I think, though, that Noah Olsen will win. I think that
you think Noah will beat him?
I think that there isn't going to be that type of deal that there was last year where, okay, and if there, a certain event pops up that favors Matt, and there's also other guys on the field that might create that separation. I think Noah wins it. I think he's hungrier. I think he saw how close he came last year. And that doesn't mean that Matt isn't going to bring the full force of fury behind him. I think he's going to claw and kick and scream and do everything he needs to do to win. I think that this will be the most aggressive performances that we'll ever see in the CrossFit games with these top five guys. But I do think that Noah Olsen will take it. So that's my prediction for the men going into October.
Yeah.
And you're saying
that's
Matt.
That's a good pick though. I mean, he was the closest anyone's ever been to beating Matt. So I think it's a good pick.
All right. Now for the women, who do you think is going to win?
I like Jamie Green. She took bronze last year. She's made huge strides. It would be her fourth games, I think. She's younger. She's got all the tools. I think if anybody's going to beat Tia, I think, because my assumption is that somehow something is going to get programmed funny intentionally to mess up Matt and Tia. And how are they going to handle that? And we've seen Tia have the breakdown at the games before. So I don't know. I mean, she's come a long way with her mental game, but even still, I think Castro is going to go out of his way to make it hard specifically for those two to repeat.
Yeah.
He even said that he doesn't think Matt's on a decline or something. He said,
Matt's going to win again. I didn't see that.
Yeah. So
telling.
Yeah, so I feel like he's going to go out of his way. I think Matt's better at adapting. But, I mean, Tia's a bulldog, so I don't know. But I think if it wasn't going to be Tia, I think I like Jamie Green.
Okay. I also don't think Tia's going to take it again. I think, though, that Sarah Sigmund's daughter is going to win. So she, like you said, she hasn't put it together at the games yet. Mm-hmm. But she's been on streaks in the past at some of these sanctionals, and she's shown that she could be a champion. There's just some kind of mental component that's missing there with her when it gets to the big stage. It's like she psychs herself out. But I think in Northern California, top five, no audience, so no distractions, less pressure, so to say. I think that is when you're going to see her rise up. And I think that if she's ever going to win, this is the chance she's got to win. I think if it goes back to regular format next year, I think she's going to never fully win it. There's people like Jamie Green and Kara and Carrie Pierce and other people who are either going to keep getting in the way in terms of points or are just going to flat out beat her. But I think going into this new format, I kind of have a feeling that it's going to support her somehow.
Yeah, no, that's a good pick. And someone we didn't even talk about was someone like Catherine's David's daughter too, right? Like she's another one that she's always right there.
Forgot all about her.
Yeah, she's always right there. She's she hasn't done quite as well since Tia's been just ripping it up. But she won the last two right before that. So, two-time games champion. She knows what it takes to win. And if she can get back to that top five, you walk in, you're within striking distance. Like you're not going to know, who the winner is going to be until the last day.
Yeah. So. And if she wins it, then it's still up in the air on who the greatest female CrossFitter is of all time.
Tia did three in a row.
You're going to give it to her because it's three in a row, not overall.
Three in a row. Yes. It's never about that. That's like saying, everybody gives Michael Jordan the six rings. He's the GOAT, but there's people that have won more championships than Michael Jordan.
True. True.
Lots.
Well, she'll just have to do it again.
Yeah. So, I think three in a row trumps three overall, especially when Catherine was part of the field for the three that Tia won.
So that's three times she beat her in a row as well.
Right.
Versus she's only beat Tia twice in a row if Tia was a part of those games where she won.
Yeah, I think she was at one of them, maybe not both, but I think she was at least at one of them. But yeah, so I don't know. But I mean, she'd be one too to look out for. She'd be in that like fifth slot. Like it could be her, it could be Kara for me, it could be one of those guys.
I think we kind of almost have to give the fifth spot to her. I don't see counting her out. I don't. Although she almost didn't make the cut last year for the top 10. So.
Right, but again, that's due to all the way the point spreads are and stuff like that. You know, how many people they had in the field and all the different cut lines and everything. You know, I mean, you've got Brooke Wells is always going to the games and doing decent, and she was right on the bubble. She just happened to be on the other side of the bubble when from Katrin. You know, there's a lot of people, especially on the women's side, that could sneak in. It's going to be super competitive. That's why I'm kind of excited for this online competition, because it's just going to be madness, like with the points, and they're just going to be going as hard as they can every workout. They're not going to be like, oh, I can take this workout off, because you don't know how far you're going to slide.
Have they said if the points reset when it goes to California, like that's just a complete clean slate, new competition?
That I haven't heard about that. So it could go either way, right? Like you could do it like we're doing this as a cut and then everybody starts from the same position, or if it's all technically the CrossFit Games, does it all pool into one? Yeah. So I don't know.
Are
you going to show up on day one with a lead?
CrossFit doesn't drop the ball here on making sure the points scoring system for both events is legit and not dumb. Well, and how things carry weight, you know, from one event to the next, and make it somehow so no one's going to clinch it, you know, on the first day at the ranch. I'm nervous just because you've seen how things have gone before. I don't want to see them fail. I want this to be such a big spectacle. And it's literally when they're at the ranch, it's like gladiators in an arena, and they're just all just duking it out. And one day it's Matt's on top. The next day, Noah's on top, and it's just the suspense going into every day, and the final day is just explosive. I just really hope they don't drop the ball.
What would you rather see? Would you rather see them carry the points over from the online or reset it when they get there?
I would reset it. I would rather it reset. I would want them going in, everyone at zero, no one at an advantage, carrying that advantage for a couple months, and I think there's more of a chance for everyone else that way too, because I fully expect Matt and Tia to win the online, you know, thing. I fully expect that. But when it comes down to top five toe-to-toe, I think it might be a different dynamic.
Well, and I think too, like with the time in between, and then it seems like they're doing like multiple days. So the cumulative number of days of CrossFit Games we're going to get is going to be more than we've ever had. You know, it's going to be, if they're 2-3 day weekends worth, that's 6 days of CrossFit Games. It's more than we've ever had. So I think that they could afford to do them basically like separate competitions, like almost like I said before, like another version of the Open, to get them, you know, to California and then start over once they get there.
Exactly. I think so too. That's why that's my selfish part of it. I'm being a spectator. It's like I want more days and just nonstop excitement. So I have no other skin in this game than just watching it all go down.
Yeah. What do you think about the rumors of the Open going back to February, March time?
I would be surprised. I think they kind of have to at this point. You know, I don't know if there was ever really a legit reason to change it. You know, I think it's what everyone wants to begin with. It was a good way to kind of start the year, you know, with being on track with your goals in January. And then, you know, in February, you're going to have to do this thing. So
do you think that leads you to thinking that regionals will make a comeback? Because the whole reason that they pushed this to October was to make room for the sanctional season. You know, so now that they're putting this into, you know, the beginning of the sanctional season is around that time. So now that they're putting that into that time, people train for the Open, you're whooped after the Open, you know, that kind of takes a lot of those sanctionals off the table. Do you think that they go back to like a regional style?
I don't know. I kind of don't think so. I think it never made sense economically on how much money they were losing and had to spend for it. I know a lot of people like regionals for selfish reasons. You know, like if you had a brand that would go to every regionals and you have a booth there, you know, you would be upset if you can't do that anymore. Or the towns, like here in Albany, you know, it was always an exciting time when they were coming here for those 2 years. But I think overall the sport is better without it. And just to do the sanctional style thing where there's more competitions, more opportunities for people to compete. We as fans get to see more, you know, we get to see those things more often, and someone else is footing the bill, but getting to grow a business and a brand on their own. So I think it provided more growth in other ways. You know, there's pros and cons to both, but I wouldn't go back to it. It kind of seems like it's something that's not necessary.
Right. There's a lot more money in it for the athletes too. So you know which way that they want to go is to stay with the sanctions. So they're paying maybe out as much as the games.
Yeah. Maybe if anything, it just needs to be that the games no longer happens in the summer. It just happens in September and October. And the Open is in the fall, and then you have that whole time from the Open to September, October for sanctionals. And maybe you can even do some sanctionals between or after the games and before the Open, just because, you know, because there's more opportunities, again, to go to the games.
Right. I don't know. If they plan on keeping swimming in the games, I can't imagine they – unless they move it south somewhere.
Hey,
they're not going to be swimming it. They're not going to be swimming in –
I think they might
this year,
be.
But they still have that contract in Wisconsin. So I don't know if you're going to be swimming in Wisconsin. And
yeah, maybe not.
October so. Next year. Yeah.
They'll
wet,
figure it
wet
out.
Wetsuits maybe, yeah. Reebok's going to be coming out with some new wetsuits.
They should. Branded one. Well, if they're even with Reebok anymore. Yeah, I don't know what's going on with all that stuff. See, and that's also another thing. I don't know how
everything's in
all
there.
Of these sanctionals are, if they're back on board with CrossFit or whatnot after the whole thing. So. It's an interesting time. It's nice that things are going on again in that sport. And it's nice that New York is opening up again and we might be able to start doing meets and having legit classes again. So it kind of feels like life is getting back to normal just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. It's hope. There's hope. And I have faith that we'll be back soon. Just got to hang in there, you know?
Me too. Well, Frank, any parting words for the listeners? Anywhere that they can find you, things like that?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram at Frank_Ford_. You know, I appreciate you having me on. It's always fun.
Follow CrossFit Sona on Instagram.
Yes, my gym. I get to say that now.
Yeah, you got to get that. You got to get that page going. Like I want to see some people doing wads and things like that.
Yeah, we got to get them back doing wads, and we will get the videos up.
Awesome. Well, be sure to follow Frank on Instagram. Follow CrossFit Sona. If you're ever in the Southern Tier area, Binghamton, New York, Vestal, Endicott, all that stuff, make sure you drop in to CrossFit Sona. If New York opens, you know, check to see what's happening in the state first. Be sure to follow the Barbell Strikes Back on Instagram. Follow James A. McDermott on Instagram. Head on over to Apple and iTunes. Leave a 5-star rating, positive review for the show. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Frank, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, James.